This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden is visiting the Ebenezer Baptist Church this morning, where the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. preached.
On this day of remembrance, as we gather here at his cherished Ebenezer, to commemorate what would have been Dr. King's 94th birthday, we gather to contemplate his moral vision and to commit ourselves to his path.
President Biden's attorney says additional pages with classified markings have been found at the president's home in Wilmington, Delaware. Here's CBS's Adriana Diaz.
In September, President Biden was critical of Trump during an interview with 60 Minutes.
How that could possibly happen? How anyone could be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods?
The steady pace of new developments has many wondering what's next. Should we expect more documents? The short answer is maybe.
A special counsel has been appointed to investigate. One is already investigating the Trump documents case. Republican Don Bacon tells ABC it's only right to investigate both.
They're both wrong. Granted, they're different. What strikes me, though, is having President Biden be highly critical of President Trump, calling it irresponsible. And it just reminds me of that old adage, if you live in a glass house, do not throw stones. And I think President Biden was caught throwing stones.
Devastating rains continue to fall in California. KGPE's Rhett Rodriguez is in Merced County.
Governor Gavin Newsom visited Merced County to warn the community about more bad weather on the horizon.
This is just the eighth of what we anticipate will be 9 atmospheric rivers.
More than 5,000 homes in the city of Merced have been flooded, and 1,600 people have been forced to leave their homes.
An evacuation order has been issued in parts of Sacramento County as well. More Republicans want New York Republican Congressman George Santos to resign over lies on his resume and his background. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer on CNN.
I don't approve of how he made his way to Congress, and I haven't even introduced myself to him because, it's pretty despicable the lies that he told. But at the end of the day, it's not up to me or any other member of Congress to determine whether he could be kicked out for lying. Now, if he broke campaign finance laws, then he will be removed.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is visiting the southern border and an area where migrants often cross into the U.S. WCBS-TV's Christina Fan reports.
The mayor says he is in El Paso to observe how the crisis is impacting the local community and what processes they're following. His stops today will include a local shelter, a processing facility, as well as talks with local leaders.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water, or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's exactly right. And a wonderful Native organization helps to sponsor this portion of the program. It is the Native American Community Development Institute, and they run the All My Relations Arts Gallery on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Right now, they have a wonderful dance performance by Rosie Sima's Dance called She Who Lives on the Road to War. But there are limited in-person performances, and there's only 10 days left. So make sure you go to allmyrelationsarts.com and get your tickets.
Yeah, good call there. Hey, Ogama, we don't do this enough, but we want to say Pinigigi to all our Patreon supporters. And we're on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island. And I just want to thank people. And Pinigigi means thank you in Ho-Chunk. Thank you for the pleasure and the privilege of your time when people listen to our show. I think that's really huge. And we run into people all the time that listen to our show, Ogama. And I just want to give a heartfelt Pinigigi thank you. And let's get to the news now that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we get with Ogama here? And everyone, wherever I go, Ogama asks about you. So take it away.
Yeah, bonjour, Anine relatives. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I have some news today. The first little bit of news I want to give you is just right up in line with what Robert said. We really appreciate and want to say chi-mi-gwich to our Patreon donors. And if you're interested in being generous and giving for the holiday season, you can go to patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. And anything that you feel comfortable donating is definitely helpful to us here and helps us to provide the great content that you hear on our show every day. So patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was just a little bit of a wrap up on the Tribal Leaders Summit that happened this past week in at the White House in Washington, D.C. And I think what is most interesting, there has been like a very short window of time for this White House Tribal Nations Summit. It was started under Obama, and then between COVID and the Trump administration, things went kind of quiet. And now this year was its first year back in person since Obama. So there was a lot of Native people who came up. But I think one of the most interesting things is that Indian Country Today reported that the youth were there and tribal leaders were there, and they were saying things like, you're saying we respect your treaties and then not actually respecting treaties, or you're saying that we're going to come and transition from consultation to consent, but you're not doing that. So there were tribal leaders there who were really willing to talk with federal officials and say that the government is not doing its due diligence, and they're giving a lot of words without action behind them. And that is really exciting, I think, for me to hear about. How about you, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. And it really, it makes me personally pause, because, you know, we talk a lot about things, and we need to really walk the walk. And I don't mean you, but I'm just meaning the general you. And so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that tribal leaders were, you know, respectfully critical of what happens at the federal level with the government and the diligence that's needed to ensure that Native people are heard. So the that kind of leads me into my next thing, which is that there's, and this is from 2021, but I don't know that we've talked about this yet. So I wanted to make sure that we were you know, aware of this, but the Safeguard Tribal Objects of Patrimony Act of 2021 is passed, and the bill prohibits the exportation of Native American cultural items and archaeological resources that were illegally obtained. It provides for the return of those items, including voluntary returns, and establishes and increases the related criminal penalties. So this kind of stemmed out of a Southwestern tribe who had a shield that had been stolen a long time ago, and it turned up in an auction in Paris. So what it means is there's no exportation of Native American cultural items, which is a way that people who steal Native historical facts for profit find a way around the current federal laws preventing people from creating non-Indigenous works of crafts and other things when they're not an Indigenous person. So this bill also requires the Department of the Interior and the Department of the State to each designate a liaison to facilitate and hold trainings and workshops on the voluntary return of human remains and cultural items. Many universities and museums across the country still have the remains of our relatives and cultural items within their collections, I guess you could call it, and many of them are on display. And a lot of Native people, myself included, find that really deeply disturbing. I don't know about you, Robert.
Wow, Ogama, such a good point. And thank you for bringing that up. I know I don't want to cut into your segment here, but I just have a personal experience with somebody that passed away. Their father was an antique store owner for many, many years. And guess what he had? He had scalps. He had all these things that was okay to sell, you know, 30, 40 years ago to other people. So it just blew my mind.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the idea of, you know, going into a museum and, you know, they're not a replica, they're not something that, you know, that it's not dinosaur bones, you know, it's not, although I don't know, necessarily believe in the treatment of the dinosaur nation in that way either, but yeah. I mean, you know, they're replicas, and there's really no good reason for the remains of another human being to be on display in a museum or to be regularly used at a university level. Anything that can be learned from those remains has probably, number one, already been learned, and number two, does not need to be on display in a public setting to learn anything more from it. So
you're kind of cracking yourself up about that dinosaur clan, weren't you, there for a second?
I was, you know, my family really enjoys, that's our favorite joke from Reservation Dogs, is the dinosaur nation, and we joke about it all the time. Couple more things in this STOP Act is what it's called, the Safeguard Tribal Objects and Patrimony Act. It's also going to require the convening of a Native working group consisting of representatives of Native tribes and Native Hawaiian organizations to provide advice on the issues concerning the return of and illegal trade in human remains and cultural items. And it increases the penalty for prison term for stealing or being convicted of selling, purchasing, using for profit, or transporting for sale or profit human remains or cultural items. It increases that from 5 years of prison time to 10 years of prison time for the maximum term. So it doesn't say that there's a minimum term, but they did increase the maximum term to 10 years. So that is definitely something that I'm feeling much relief about. And it says 2021, but I don't think that we touch base on that yet this year. So I wanted to make sure to bring that up. And then just a quick note here from CNBC, the Department of the Interior is providing three tribes $75 million to relocate from their coastal areas because they're at risk of destruction due to climate change. The Nutok Village and the Native Village of Napakiek in Alaska and the Quinault Indian Nation in Washington State are each going to receive $25 million to relocate their buildings inland. And they're also lining up and awarding $5 million grants to eight other tribes to help them plan for relocation because their tribes will need to be relocated. So they are on coastal areas that are at risk for destruction and flooding. And, you know, it just goes to show that tribal nations and Native peoples and other people of color are historically oppressed and disenfranchised groups in the United States and are more exposed to the effects of climate change and risk. So while I'm happy the federal government is giving the funding, it would have done a lot more to prevent this climate change to begin with.
Hey, Pini Gigi Ogama, for the news. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be with talking to the executive director of Take Action Minnesota. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 38 this afternoon under overcast skies. South winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 34. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 42. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And I suppose in a way it's also brought to you by Take Action Minnesota, because we have a guest on tonight from Take Action Minnesota, Robert.
Wow, what a great segue, Ogama. Hey, we have the director of Take Action Minnesota, Elena Farhat, and I see that she's on here and her mic's muted. That's hard to say. Mic's muted. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, good evening. We are all over Turtle Island here. We're on 10 stations live across the country, and we want to support what's going on coming up here. And first, tell our listeners, we have a lot of people all over the country listening, what is Take Action Minnesota? And then let's talk real quick about the event that's coming up.
Yeah, good to be here. Glad to be heard by so many people in so many places. Take Action Minnesota is a statewide multiracial, multigenerational people's organization, bringing people together across our state to take action for racial, economic, and gender justice. And we really act from a place of our values. We really believe in a world where everyone can live happy, full, thriving lives. And we start there. And then we say, what is getting in the way of that? And we connect people together to come together in public and make the change we need to see in our communities and in our state.
You know, I've loved your organization for a long, long time. And it just, you know, when it comes to all the progressive stations we're on across the country, it really just every bullet point that what you guys do just align with us so perfectly. And it's really an honor to have you on. We have a relative of yours on every Friday, and it's fun to hear her story because her daughter kind of got her into politics, and now she's a state senator of Minnesota.
Yeah, I think you're talking about my mom, Robert. Yes, that is right. My mom is Senator Mary Kunish, and she loves being on your show. And, you know, I just had my sister and I both had daughters this last year, first grandchildren, and they also, that's my mom's day to watch them. So it's always the rule, Robert, is we've got to pick the girls up or at least be there before she comes on your show so she can focus. And I know it's such a joy to speak with you and to everyone across the country. And yes, you know, you might think, oh, her, you know, her daughter's a executive director at Take Action and she's a state senator and what a political family. But it really wasn't that way. You know, I got into organizing. I fell into it like a lot of people just fall into it. No one told me that it could be a career path, but for everyone listening who wants a job and making change, it can be a career path. And my mom, you know, supported me, didn't totally understand it, like lots of parents of organizers, and then started volunteering on campaigns I was on. And she's incredible. You know, she's incredible at connecting with people and bringing people together and moving towards a common goal. And so was invited to run for office and get active, she said yes. And quite the force in our state, just like in our family.
Absolutely. And what's really fun, too, on Fridays, we have dueling babies because not only your baby and your sister's baby, but Ogama has a baby, too. So they're all on the air. So it's a baby fest on Friday. Right, Ogama?
It absolutely is. My daughter's going to be 9 months here on the 8th. And yeah, she's on camera. She's hitting me in the microphone. she's talking in the background. It's definitely a lot of fun to have the young ones involved.
Totally.
Exactly.
They give us hope, you know, they give us hope.
Oh, definitely. And it's always fun to run into you at different places. I know I just got to give you a quick shout out. When I was a high school teacher, as your mom was a teacher too, when St. Paul was on strike, Take Action and the executive director was marching right next to me. And that was great to see you there. And always surprising where I see you, but it shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we run into each other quite a bit. But it is funny, Robert, as I was thinking about this segment and thinking about the way that workers and community are coming together to demand a better future. It's so funny. I went right back to that. And you and I marching together, you brought your drum and you let me drum. And I didn't have a very good beat at the beginning, but you were patient and I got a good beat. And we marched together, and it was just, that was a powerful moment. And I feel like the last time we marched together is really similar to the time folks are going to be marching together this Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited about having this conversation with you.
Well, let's talk about that. What's going on this Thursday?
Yeah, so this Thursday, Amazon workers and community members are coming together in an event called Workers Rising. And probably at least 150. If the folks listening to this who are in Minnesota come, it'll be more than 150. You should totally come. Gathering throughout the day to connect, build relationship, learn together, plan together. And then the big event is in the afternoon, all gathering at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Shakopee to demand that Amazon, you know, really take responsibility for its role to deliver for a just transition to a clean energy economy in our state and across the globe, as well as to deliver good jobs. And, you know, Amazon workers have been organizing in Minnesota with Awood and are facing and continue to face just, you know, immoral workplace conditions, just unsafe, lots of surveillance, not good pay. And so we're all coming together to demand that Amazon be the type of place that cares for our people, both when they are working in their warehouses and in other places, as well as in our communities and for our climate.
Exactly. And they can afford all these things. And that's, you know, during the pandemic, they were the only people really making money and people buying things from them. And it's just, we need a fair wage and fair conditions for these people. We can't go backwards, right?
Right. I mean, I think the statistic is that in 2020, Jeff Bezos himself added $70 billion to his net wealth. And so that just puts it into some perspective of how much money we're talking about here, just an individual man. And so let alone the whole company. And the company continues to grow. It is the largest retailer in the country. I'm sorry, the largest retailer in the world. I think it's the sixth largest company in the world. And, you know, a lot of us interface with Amazon online shopping or, you know, seeing the Prime trucks in our neighborhoods. Or maybe we know folks who have worked in the warehouses. But Amazon is much bigger than that. You know, they have this massive web services infrastructure, like the back end of our internet and infrastructure. They own a lot of it and they're contracting with our government. And so a lot of federal as well as state and local governments are contracting with those cloud services. They have the Ring, you know, if any of you have a Ring on your front door, like that's owned by Amazon and they take that data and sell it. You may have an Alexa, you know, so they're just, it's really everywhere. And the company has gotten to, you know, when companies get so big, it's no long, you know, they're no longer like your standard. It's not even like a big company. Like we're not even talking about like, are you a small business or not? I mean, Amazon is at the size of, and with like the consolidation of power and influence that, you know, they have as much responsibility as any of our local or state entities of government to like show up and lead. And the way they operate is impacting our daily lives. And so this action is really to say, like, you are consolidating power and resources. And and that is impacting our lives, and we get to have a say in something that big with that much impact on our lives, and especially when you have that much money, you got to put it to good use, and put your money where your mouth is when you're talking about, you know, saving the planet and a just climate future.
The irony is the name of the company is Amazon. That's the irony. And this is our Standard Oil right now. We need to break them up like all these big companies and get back to that. But we only have like a minute left. Let's talk about the event one more time so our listeners can key in on that. And we'll be talking about it. Ogema and I will be talking about it for the next couple of days also.
Awesome. So if you go to our website, takeactionminnesota, all spelled out, .org, you can find more info. It starts, it's a program and rally at the Shakopee Amazon Fulfillment Center called Worker Rising. Workers and community members are coming together to demand that Amazon deliver good jobs, good, safe jobs in our communities, and that they pay for a just transition to a clean energy future in Minnesota.
Wow, Pina Gigi, for being on. Let's do this more often. Yes. Really appreciate it. And maybe one day we'll get you on the same day as your mom and surprise her. Ho!
Oh.
Great to having you on. And we'll be talking about that the rest of the days up leading up to it. So Pina Gigi, for being on, and we'll talk to you real soon. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back with Dr. Stately right after this short break. Stay with us.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. President Biden honoring Martin Luther King today with a visit to his Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta.
Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a nonviolent warrior for justice who followed the word and the way of his Lord and his Savior.
More documents marked classified have been found at President Biden's home in Delaware. On NBC, Michigan Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow was asked about it.
From my perspective, you know, it's one of those moments that obviously they wish hadn't happened.
The Biden and the Trump documents cases are under investigation. California has had just about enough of all of this rain.
With more rain threatened, President Biden's declared that a major disaster exists in California. That means an order for quick federal aid to supplement local recovery efforts as storm after storm batters the state.
That's CBS's Tom Foti reporting. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underley said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is he's never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I just wanted to let everybody know that this portion of the show is sponsored by MNSure or MNSure. If you're looking for affordable health insurance, make sure you go to MNSure.org to find a plan for open enrollment before the end of the year.
Right on. We love the support, and being supported by MNSure is just an awesome thing. Hey, we're waiting for Dr. Stately, and I just texted him, and I'm not sure if he has the link or what. But, Ogama, I'm wondering if you have the capacity just to bring that up again about the Amazon action one more time for our people that are listening.
Yes, absolutely. So this Thursday, December 8th, at the Twin Cities Amazon Fulfillment Center, there's going to be a support event for community members and Amazon workers, asking for workers' rights and demanding that Amazon contribute to the just transition and to a sustainable economy and good jobs here in Minnesota. You can find more information at Take Action Minnesota. Minnesota is spelled out, not Take Action MN. It's Take Action Minnesota.org/workersrising, or just go to the Take Action page and you'll see at the top it says Take Action. So this Workers Rising event is a campaign that's actually led by the Amazon workers themselves and supported by Take Action to demand raises, worker safety, and a just transition. And like Elian said, while she was here, we just had Elian Farhat, the executive director of Take Action Minnesota, join us for a segment on Native Roots Radio. And like she said, this is there's no good reason for Jeff Bezos to not be paying his workers a living wage. He made record profits in 2020 and continues to make a record amount of money with all of the things that Amazon has stock in or things that we use in our daily lives. And they really need to take responsibility for their impact on our climate, their responsibility to treat people with respect. And there's a form on Take Action Minnesota that you can fill out to let them know that you'll be there on Thursday, December 8th at the Amazon Fulfillment Center. And I do believe the flow of the day, they're gathering at 11 a.m. at the MSP Airport Terminal 2 Blue Line Station for a morning action, and then heading over for lunch. And then at 4 p.m., they're doing the MSP One rally with Amazon workers. So make sure you go over there and get all of the details.
You know, I have a lot of books, Ogama and Dr. Stately. By the way, welcome, Dr. Stately, the CEO of a Native American Community Clinic in here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. I have a lot of books, and I feel like people that are making $70 billion, especially during the year of COVID, and not helping their community, I mean, how much money can you have? I mean, they're like hoarders, too. Oh, did I just admit being a hoarder? They are hoarders, I should say. Oh, wow. Hey, Dr. Stately. We just had a nice guest on before you.
Well, welcome. I mean, I think somebody that tries to amass billions and billions of dollars is a little bit different than somebody who tries to amass a bunch of books and knowledge.
Yeah, definitely.
It's possible you could be trying to compensate for something like a poor self-esteem, but I don't think that that's what you're doing when you hoard books.
Yeah, I think I suffer from an abundance, an overabundance of self-esteem. I think I have too much self-esteem for a person that, like me, should.
Yeah, like you got your helping and then somebody else's too.
Are you guys going to make it? That one really got Robert today. Dr. Stately, you're on point for the humor.
That was a good one. I just rolled right with that one.
It's like, hey. You know, it's good to have self-confidence. That's what it is. It's good to have self-confidence.
Right. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. And it's good to be good tap dancer on live radio, too. Ho! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also good to be humble. Hey. Our ancestors have taught us. But, right. Good reality. Yeah, I think, like, one of the things that's challenging about that conversation is that, you know, there was, like, you know, they always say, like, in moments of crisis, there's always opportunity. And so I think that, you know, some people interpret that as, like, oh, the world is in the middle of a pandemic. Let me, you know, become a billionaire, like 19 times over, right? Versus like, oh, let me see what I can do to contribute to the improvement and the betterment of all humankind. Some people are just wired differently, right? And well, at least, I think that it really has a lot to do with, depends on that. So,
well, at least Rockefeller gave out dimes when he walked around and tried to buy people off. You know, I mean, Standard Oil, it was another big monopoly, just like Microsoft, and here we are with Amazon. And but yeah, he liked that one. He did give out dimes. He had a film crew follow him around and gave out dimes to kids during the Depression, or even before the Depression. Oh, Dr. Staley, you accidentally muted yourself. And there you go.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I was going to say that it seems like, you know, I don't know, I guess back then in the Depression era, a dime was a lot of money, right? So when I was a kid, a dime was a lot of money. I mean, you could get like, you know, a whole handful of bubble gum for a dime.
Baseball cards were,
yeah.
Baseball cards are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars were a dime when I was a kid, or even a nickel.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Kind of really wishing you held on to those now, huh?
Oh, I did.
Did you? That's good. I
have a lot of them, yeah. My mom was a collector, but that's a different show. We could start a collector show or pack rat show or something like that, but Wendy would not approve.
Yeah. Well, we already know, like, through the intimations and the connotations that your wife has made on, you know, on public radio here. On the airwaves, that you do have a tendency and propensity to hold on to some things, like those things behind you.
Oh, I still haven't framed that present for you yet, but I'm not sure if you celebrate Christmas as a Native man in the Native family, so I'll have to figure out when to get this to you.
I don't necessarily celebrate that, but I do celebrate receiving of gifts.
Yeah.
Celebrate that.
Exactly. Hey, Dr. Staley, we haven't talked a lot, and there's a lot of reports out there about what's happening with COVID. You got the flu. You got all these other things coming up. And I mean, I didn't get sick for 3 years because I didn't go anywhere. And when I did, I wore a mask.
Yep. Now, you know, I think there was like maybe 3 or 4 shows ago that I talked about, or maybe it might have been like in early September, perhaps. I talked a little bit about this, put the potential for like the confluence of like the flu and COVID. And then as early as like August and September, we were starting to see, you know, the impact of lots of young kids returning to school. RSV was sort of starting to, you know, take off. And it was you could see the writing on the wall if you looked really closely and carefully. These three respiratory things that sort of like all coming together at a, you know, at an inopportune time could cause some real challenges for our communities and for our healthcare system. And that's exactly where we're at right now. Ironically, 2 weeks before Christmas, right? So it's like three weeks before Christmas.
Well, Dr. Staley, I've heard reports, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard reports that really you need that last booster. You need a flu shot for sure, but the last booster is really what's protecting people now, not the last 3 or 4 that we had earlier.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that the last booster, I think, and there's challenges, like, so we're talking about the bivalent booster, and I think that there's some people that are like, have been reluctant to get it because, you know, I've heard multiple sort of like, you know, positions from different people on the issue of whether I should take the vaccine or not, you know, the new bivalent booster. And I think one of the challenges is that I've talked to people. I always, like, I've said this on this show before. And when I do talk to like folks and my colleagues or within a professional setting, but even when I talk to my relatives, I'm like, you know, even if it's just, I've said this even about the flu vaccine, even if it's only going to give me 20 or 30%, you know, or 40%, protection, like, or the 40% of effectiveness is, you know, that kind of thing. Like, in a situation like this, I'm going to sort of kind of go with like some percentage of protection rather than zero. Like, I'm not a gambling man, but I'm pretty sure that I know that 40% of something is better than 0% of nothing.
You're not a mathematician, but that I think.
Exactly. And I don't even play one on TV.
Or radio.
And I know enough to know that, like, and I think that's kind of like what I always try to tell family members is, like, you know, you might not get full protection in the sense that you won't get sick from the flu, but your likelihood to have to be sick 10 days straight with the flu, with a horrific case of it, is likely to be significantly less. And COVID, of course, same situation. I happened to back in like late August, early September, I got the bivalent booster as soon as I was able to take it. And then also I got my flu vaccine. And, you know, I did that because I was sick with COVID and I had, like, I still have some scarring in my lungs and I've been having, you know, some lung issues and breathing issues on and off intermittently for the last several months. But I didn't want to take the chance that I was going to get sick again. I didn't want to take the chance that I'd have COVID at the same time I'd have you know, for the flu, and I was not willing to take that risk because I didn't want to end up back in the hospital again. I like my experience of being in the hospital with COVID was that I was scary as heck. So
yeah, let's talk a little bit about that in the next segment. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we're Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minnesota, Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 38. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, lows around 34, overcast. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 42, cloudy. Upper 30s Tuesday and Wednesday, with a chance for scattered showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, relatives. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
Oh.
Yeah, also, this portion is also the sacred Pack Rat podcast with Robert and Anthony. Tony, yeah. Dr. Stately. Yeah. No, hey. So,
we're
Dr.
More
Stately.
Famous than other pack rats. Rat packs. Rat packs. Rat racks.
Yeah, Rat Pack with Sinatra. And well, anyways, that's another show. Hey, Dr. Stately, you know, we were just ending the last segment, and I wanted to bring that up, this segment, too, is that when you had COVID, there was no vaccine, and a lot of times it was a scary, scary deal. And how quickly do we forget that? Not you personally, but just the public.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a certain amount of like complacency that we've slipped into as a society, you know? And I mean, I don't know what it's like around the world, because I, you know, well, one, I don't travel anywhere outside of the state of Minnesota very frequently. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hockey season. And when it's hockey season, like, I'm anchored to the state. Yeah. I can't go anywhere doing it. But generally speaking, like, I think across the United States, like, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, one of the, you know, we are a well-developed country. We have so many resources, so much, you know, abundance here. And yet, what we have not a lot of abundance in is you know, having clear and having clarity around our strategy around public health, right? People are not practicing good public health strategies. I think we have, many of us have slipped into sort of like this, you know, this place where we're like, well, you know, I'll be just fine because I, you know, I don't do X, Y, and Z, whatever X, Y, and Z is going to be. And I think part of that is like, you know, the practices of not wearing masks and not socially distancing and not being really careful, like washing your hands and having good hygiene. Has not served us well in this last year, right? We've actually seen COVID in its mutated state pass fairly quickly and rapidly between and among groups of individuals and within communities, and actually contribute to significant amount of hospitalizations. And while we're not seeing the amount of people die that we were seeing in March of 2020, right, or in late 2019, we continue to see upwards of like 100 and some deaths a year. I mean, a day. Yeah. That's not insignificant. That's like about 500,000 people a year. Right. And so part of it is like getting to be, we have to get back to the place where we begin to understand like the benefits of practicing some very basic public health strategies, like, you know, wearing masks when we're sick and we're in close quarters with people where we're sharing space, doing things like staying home, even though, you know, we really, really want to get to the mall and buy that one thing that we think we're going to die without. Stay home and wait until you're well,
right,
and well enough to be among other people. And that's a responsible thing to do. And what we're seeing, because people are not doing those things, is we're seeing flu rates significantly higher than they've been in a number of years. Low vaccination rates for flu. RSV ripping through communities. the people who are the most vulnerable for RSV are those little tiny ones, because they have little tiny airwaves. And RSV is a virus that causes the airwaves to sort of like close up and have difficulty breathing because of the inflation and the inflammation that happens as a result of that. And so those folks, and then the much older people, are much more vulnerable. I recently looked at stats from the CDC and from some of the national data. The overwhelming majority of people who are dying now from COVID, and there are many people that are still dying from COVID, are those who are over 65. Who are the most vulnerable. And I want people to think about like what it would mean for you to have to be sick with COVID, the flu, and maybe even possibly RSV if you have a child or an older person living in your home, or that you have. There is no vaccine for RSV. There's really nothing you can do for them. It's a virus. They got to kind of ride it out, right? It is not going to bode well if you get both of those things or all three of them at the same time.
And it's hard too. And I remember this as teaching school. It's hard for people to keep their kids home, but they should be keeping them home when they're really sick. And you talk about masks. I just think about, you know, within a couple of weeks when that judge that Trump put in there and got rid of the mask mandate on planes, I don't see anyone now with a mask on in the plane.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't take planes anymore. But also, one of the things I wanted to just really quickly say is that, you know, there are a lot of people that cannot keep their children home. They have to make a decision between, like, staying home with their child when they're sick, or and not going to work and losing the money that they would make to, like, you know, buy food, which is now 7 to 10 times 7% higher prices in some of those things than they were 2 years ago. So it's like, you know, the people are not.
Oh, we just lost you, Dr. Stately.
I thought it was just me, Robert.
Everyone below the one percenters. So, right? You know, the people who are doing poorly, who are losing their homes, who are struggling with everyday life, the cost of everyday life and inflation, and it's just compounded by the illnesses that are going on, is that, you know, are the people who didn't get wealthy during the pandemic. Right. The people who got wealthy during the pandemic and had abundance, they're doing well. They can ride this thing out for as long as it needs. So we have tremendous inequities in our health system and a few other places as well. So
that's a perfect thing to bring up. And it's just frightening because of that. And also, you know, it's interesting too, what you said about 65 and over. That's the first I've heard that. That's really frightening. Let's get that other booster. I think a lot of people are forgetting about that booster. I thought I heard only 17% have gotten the second booster.
Yeah, only 17%, which is like, I mean, that is so under. And even about something like 34% or 24%, I think, of people who normally would take the vaccine, there's like a 13 to 24% reduction depending on your jurisdiction, like of people who are not taking the flu vaccine, right? And it's one of the challenges that we have facing us as a result of the pandemic and some of the things that have been going on with the politicization of like the vaccines and stuff, is that people have less faith and confidence in vaccines today than they had 20, 30 years ago. Right?
Unbelievable.
And so it is creating a lot of vulnerability in our society, but it's most impactful to the people who have the least amount of resources to just meet everyday demands of living. So.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that's a great point. Thank you, Dr. Stately, for stopping in and spreading out your knowledge throughout Turtle Island. Really, really, really appreciate you and what you bring to the show. Hey, we need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio.